Today we're going to go ahead and conclude our sermon series from the book of Judges. And we're going to talk about how God gives people the strength that they need in order to do his will. And so, as always, if you'd like to go ahead and follow along, I'd like to encourage you to navigate your Bibles on over to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16, as we take a look at Samson and how God used Samson. Now, if we tend to know anything about Samson, it's the fact that he's the Bible's strong man, you know. And just how strong was he? Well, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But neither his father nor mother told him that is, but he told neither his father or mother what he had done. That's Judges 14, 5 and 6. And then later on, we're told that as he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. Again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. The bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Judges 15, 14 and 15. And just one more. I'm thinking about what he did with the lion. And I'm thinking about the comparison with a young goat. Like, who goes and rips apart young goats? Anyway, and then over here, it's like, there just happens to be dead donkeys lying around. But still, anyway, one more for you. This is over in Judges chapter 16 and verses 2 and 3. The people of Gaza were told, Samson's here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Wow. Just look at that little survey. Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. He wiped out 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. And he uprooted a city gate. A city gate! Carrying it nearly 40 miles away. There's no doubt about it. Samson wasn't someone you messed with. As a matter of fact, his strength preceded him. The Philistines feared him. The Israelites adored him. And everybody knew who he was. Needless to say, it wasn't easy for Samson to go from place to place unnoticed. And it wasn't necessarily because of his incredible strength, but because of his incredibly long hair. What's so special about his long hair? Well, it's all got to do with a special vow made to God. And so ever since he was born until sometime just before his death, he never, not ever, cut his hair. Can you imagine how long his hair must have been? I mean, people talk about shoulder-length hair, hip-length hair. Samson's hair was way down there, you know, kind of like a cape flowing up. That's a lot of hair. I don't know how that works. Obviously, I don't know how that works. So what about his special vow? Well, Samson's hair was the outward mark of his Nazirite vow. And that we're talking Nazirite, not Nazareth. Totally different stuff. And we can read about the Nazirite vow over in Numbers chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 2 and go all the way down to verse 8. There, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of separation to the Lord, as a Nazirite, he must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as he is a Nazirite, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of the separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long. Throughout the period of his separation to the Lord, he must not go near a dead body. Even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies, he must not make himself ceremonially unclean on account of them, because of the symbol of his separation to God on his head. Throughout the period of his separation, he is consecrated to the Lord. Okay, so breaking it down, a Nazirite, someone who made a vow like this, was required to observe the following guidelines. Basically, never to cut your hair, never to touch any form of grapes, no grape products at all, especially the alcoholic kind. And he was never to touch a dead human body. And as long as he observed all of those regulations, we're told that he was consecrated or made holy to or set apart for the Lord. And so Samson was committed to those rules even before he was born. And as far as we can tell, Samson never broke those rules. But he had other problems in his life. He struggled with other sins, but he apparently never broke those rules proper. So, could just anyone be a Nazirite then and have super strength? Well, God tells us that Samson was the only Nazirite ever blessed with that super strength because of his vow. But why? Well, Israel needed a strong man at the time. Israel needed a deliverer like Samson, and God gave them one. Over in Judges chapter 13 and verse 1, take a look at that again. There we're told that, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years. 40 years is a long time. You know, could you just imagine what it would be like to live your entire life totally dominated by a cruel and oppressive nation like the Philistines? Israel had done what was evil in the sight of God, and because of that, though, God delivered them into the hands of the Philistines to be disciplined. You see, it was no one's fault but Israel's alone that they ended up where they were at. And that's because a long, 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 long time ago, God told his people, not once, but over and over again, to be holy, because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Sadly, Israel failed to set themselves apart for God, and because of their failure to separate themselves apart for God, from the uncleanliness and the deadness of the culture around them, they are now weakened and enslaved to their culture. And that's very much the way Christians sometimes are today. That's the way the people of the world are today. We become enslaved and weakened by the culture around us when we allow ourselves to be drifted into that area, okay? Now, in addition to being Israel's deliverer, Samson was really God's object lesson. He was God's object lesson to the Israelites. Think about it again. Through Samson, God was telling Israel, if you want to be strong, if you want to be confident, if you want the Philistines to fear you, then don't get drunk like the other nations. Don't touch unclean things. And don't defile yourselves with the death and decay of their way of life. Just don't do it. And so in lieu, you could say, of t-shirts or billboards, bumper stickers or Twitter accounts, Samson's life was declaring to the Israelites, separate yourselves like me. Make yourselves a holy people for your God, to be holy because God is holy. Okay, so what about Samson's strength? Why was he so strong? What was the source of Samson's strength? Was it because of what he ate or didn't eat? Was it because of his hair? No, no, no. Samson's strength came from God, period. And that's the way it's always been for God's people. For example, from our scripture reading, David writes in Psalm 28 in verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song." And from Psalm 33 in verses 16 through 21, we're reminded that no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Of course, just like Samson and David, the Christian's strength also comes from the Lord. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." In other words, if you're not connected to Jesus, if he doesn't abide in you and work through you, then you'll simply have no real strength without him. Sure, you might be able to do all kinds of things in this life, but without Jesus, nothing of any lasting value will remain. Think about it. When we finally come to realize that it is in God's strength that we can make a difference in our lives and the lives of those around us, it's then that we can really begin to make a difference. The Apostle Paul recognized that when he wrote, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And he says that because he knows that it's only when we humble ourselves and allow God's strength and power to work through us that we are truly strong. And we're not talking about ripping apart lion strength here or even ripping apart goat strength, you know. But God's power and strength working in us and through us to impact others' lives. And so God's strength at work in us becomes our testimony that it's not by my power that I can overcome. It's not by my power that I'm going to heaven. And as a matter of fact, it's not even my power that I can do anything of any lasting value. It is God living in me. Remember, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. And that principle remained true for most of Samson's life. But there came a time when he traded in his trust for God, trusting God for a trust in himself. You know, most people think that Samson lost his strength because he lost his hair. But that's only part of the reason. Remember, Samson's hair was a symbol, really, of the Nazirite vow, meaning that his hair was the sign of a commitment to God. And as soon as it was cut, he was done. It was over. He was as weak as a child. But there wasn't any power in his hair. His strength didn't come from his hair. I can thank God for that. But think about it. Did God really need for Samson to have a full head of hair in order to give him strength? The answer is no. What I mean is if Samson had been bald, it wouldn't have made any difference. For example, the prophet Elisha comes to mind, because he was as bald as a cue ball. You might remember he went out and some youths jeered him, and he called down she-bears to maul them. Anyway, always respect bald people. That's the lesson, okay? But you see, the Lord was with him, hair or no hair, and Elisha was a great miracle worker prophet in the Old Testament, performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and didn't have a lick of hair. Well, he might have had some on the sides. I don't know. Anyway, but you see, that's the key, though, that the Lord was with him. And that's true with anyone in the Lord. Just think again about Moses and David and the prophets and the apostles. So when it comes time to talk about Samson, after his hair was cut and he was tied up, Judges 16:20 tells us that he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. You see, Samson wasn't weak really because his hair left him. He was weak because the Lord left him. His strength came from God, and his weaknesses came from losing touch with God. So let's talk some more about the source of Samson's weaknesses. Some people think that his weaknesses came from sexual immorality. He wasn't exactly the most pure guy, you know. And clearly, that was part of it. I mean, after all, Judges chapter 16 starts off with Samson spending the night with a prostitute. And that's not something that a man of God should be doing. And not too long after that, he's in the bedroom of another woman, the Philistine temptress Delilah. And like a lot of things that take control of our lives, it didn't happen all at once. Day by day, Samson lost control until finally he lost all of his strength. Sadly, by the time he figured it all out, he couldn't set himself free. And that was because by then, God wasn't the focus of his life anymore. And so the strength that God had once provided wasn't there anymore. And just to be clear, sexual sin doesn't just destroy individuals like Samson. It destroys the lives of both men and women of all ages throughout all time in the form of, well, just to name a couple things, STDs, unwanted pregnancies, broken hearts. And when it comes to families, it destroys families because that intimate covenant that once was shared has now been broken. God tells us over and over again about sexual sins, and particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, where we're encouraged to flee sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it means that when we sin sexually, it's like a slow spreading disease that eats away at the essence of our being. All the while, we look fine on the outside, maybe perfectly healthy on the outside. But on the inside, we're diseased and weakened, and therefore easy targets for Satan and primed for destruction. And Samson, of course, is our example today. So was Samson's weakness caused by sexual sins? Yeah, but that's not the only reason. Look again at the first three verses of Judges chapter 16. And we already looked at that, so just think about what's there. We see that he spent the night with the prostitute, meaning that he had sinned sexually. But remember again that he could tear out a city gate and carry it like 40 miles away. And so while he sinned sexually, he still had quite a lot of strength. But it doesn't say anywhere that the Spirit of the Lord was with him. You see, four times we're told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson in the book of Judges when he showed incredible feats of strength. But nowhere in those three verses in Judges chapter 16 does it say the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But Samson still had enough strength to carry those gates. Well, why wasn't the Spirit of the Lord with Samson in those three verses? Well, again, simply because Samson sinned with the prostitute. And so there must be more then to Samson's weaknesses than just his sexual sins, or else he would be totally weakened. Let me suggest to you that it was Samson's pride in his physical prowess to go out there and whip just about anybody that challenged him. It was his pride in his position as a leader among the Hebrews. It was his pride in his abilities and his power that led him to believe that he could just get away with whatever it was that he wanted to do. I don't want to say he was like a bully, but it's kind of like that. He could just go about town, grab any woman he want, do anything he want, because I'm Samson the strong man. Check out my muscles, you know. Think about it. I mean, it was Samson's pride that led him to believe that it was okay to visit a prostitute. You know, he's supposed to be called by God to be a deliverer. It was Samson's pride that led him to believe that he could maintain an ungodly relationship with a Philistine woman named Delilah. And it was Samson's pride that kept him in Delilah's bedroom night after night, even as she was plotting to betray him. And so Samson's physical strength became a source of his weakness. His power became a source of pride. He never lost a fight. No one could defeat him. He was a man of power and prestige, or so he thought. And when we look around us today, you know, we still see problems like that. Problems with men and women of power and prestige struggling with the same type of issues, whether it be governors or senators or people in Hollywood, people in business, and sometimes even you and me. The problem of pride. And so it was because of Samson's pride, based upon his belief in his own strength, that brought him down. It was his pride that told him, I can get away with it. I can do whatever I want. But he couldn't. He couldn't. Proverbs 16:18 reminds us that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And God warns us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to let him who thinks he stands strong take heed lest he fall. Just think about your own life. You know, it's our pride that can lead us to trust in ourselves when we really need the strength of God. It's our pride that makes us lean more on our own understanding when we face temptation. It's our pride that can make us look to anywhere or anyone but to God when we have to make decisions in our lives. And it's that pride that could lead us into bondage and pain in our lives, just like Samson's pride led him into bondage and pain, which is why God's ways, God's wisdom, don't always look all that sensible to those in this world that are proud. Well, the story of Samson was a story of a man who, out of pride and arrogance, chose not to abstain. And in the end, Samson suffered for his pride. What's interesting about Samson's story, though, is that in spite of his colossal failure, in spite of his walking away from God in his life, and in spite of his sexual immorality, in the end, he repented. And that's key, because people would say, well, God placed him there in this situation in order to defeat the Philistines. Yeah, that's true. But what was important in the end in order for that to happen was Samson needed to repent. And in the end, when Samson repented, God restored his strength, even without long hair, mind you. The hair didn't grow back like that. It wasn't in the hair. It was in his spiritual relationship with God. And so in those final moments, the Bible tells us, he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived, Judges 16 and verse 30. And just like Samson, we can and do suffer bondage of various kinds of and pain of various kinds because of our sinfulness. But also, just like Samson, we can repent and be set free and receive strength from the Lord, just like Acts 3:19 tells us to repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And so today, if you've been inspired by Samson's story, if you need the strength of God in your life, then repent of your sins that are weakening you and turn to God, knowing that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:19. Of course, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, then I'd like to encourage you to make that decision today. To first of all, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then upon your trust in him, turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, continue to walk in Christ, living your life for him until he comes back again or you go to be with him. And so today, if there's anyone here who needs to come forward and give their lives to Christ, or if there's some other need that we might be able to help out with as a loving congregation, as always, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing.